warning you right off the bat, I'm a little unhinged today. I have been in my house for like 2 weeks with both my kids, and I love my kids. I really do. They're like little sweet babies, but 24/7 for 2 weeks is a lot. It's a lot, you know? And I am so fucking glad that they are going back to school. And I'm over COVID and I want it to be gone in the end. So your girl's a little unhinged because, you know, it's just been some long days. It's been some long effing days. We have so much to talk about, and unfortunately, not much of it is Kravis. Kravis has been pretty low-key, and understandably so, because the rest of their family's fucking wiling out. Wiling the F out. So let's start with Kanye, because the Kanye of it all is pretty much the biggest thing that's been going on the past couple of weeks. We know that Kim went to the Bahamas with Pete. We know that there was a rumor that she just kind of needed to get away from the whole Kanye of it all, from the whole he moved across the street of it all, and goes to the Bahamas. Kanye spends New Year's Eve with Julia Fox. Not a big deal at the time, we think, right? We think that it's not a big deal. They went to dinner. He was also spotted canoodling with, you know, one, possibly two other women at his condo down there. However, as Kim and Pete are coming back from the Bahamas, Kanye jet sets to New York with Julia Fox. They have dinner and a photo shoot. A photo shoot of her posing, the clothes, the glam. I mean, it's wild. And we all start spinning, spiraling, theorizing, like, what's going on? It's date number two. Little did we know shit was about to get fucking weirder, wilder, and that we were going to see a lot more of Julia Fox. Fast forward to this past week. They are in LA hanging out with, I mean, you know, just like a bunch of nobodies, like, oh, I don't know, Madonna. They're hanging out with Madonna. And I mean, if you see the clip of this group, it's a strange vibe. Lots of cool people there, like Diana Ross's grandson, Evan Ross, super cool guy. I think he's really interesting. Madonna, obviously queen. Kanye in and of himself is a genius, you know, creative genius, interesting mind. And Julia Fox herself, after doing a ton of research about her, she seems like a pretty cool chick too. She's really down to earth. She's got an interesting past. She's an artist. She's a creative type. So I think on many levels, her and Ye are going to really connect in that way, because they're both kind of like outlandish artists. That's how I've always looked at Kanye. Kanye's creativity, his genius, is like not something that most of us are going to understand unless he puts it into like layman's terms for us. So like his music that plays on the radio, the stuff that we can digest easily, that's like his layman's terms of his creativity. The rest of it, some of it, I feel like is above our heads because it's so in his head. And she appears to be kind of the same way. So I think on that level, they make a lot of sense. Now, she was undeniably random, right? Like, we didn't see this coming. But now that we know a little bit more about her, she was like a former dominatrix, it all really makes a ton of sense. And I don't think they're necessarily a terrible match. However, again, you take those pieces separately. They're awesome. They're fun. They're cool. You put them all together in a weird, like, situation room. Like, it was a very strange vibe. Everyone's kind of, like, laying all over each other. It was odd. It was not my scene. Let's just leave it at that. So we get footage of Kanye leaving. Julia's walking him out. She, you know, walks him to his car. She runs back in. It's all very performative at this point. I truly, like, want to like this couple. I want to see it. Like, I'm happy for Kim. I love the Kim and Pete thing. I am all in on Kim finding somebody to either have a fling with or like the real deal. I want the same for Kanye because, I mean, why would I not want that for him but only want it for her? Like, I have no skin in the game on either situation, so why can't I just be happy for both? However, Kim and Pete seem kind of organic. Like, they met at SNL, it evolved into something, and now they're dating. Like, it makes sense. A progression, I understand it. They don't really publicize their outings and all, you know, there's not a lot of PDA. It's just kind of like normal. The Kanye and Julia Fox situation is so performative. You know, like, from her giving an interview after their second date to him scheduling a photo shoot in the middle of a restaurant for her on their second date. Like, it's performative. And do I think their whole relationship is a performance? Is it, you know, fake? I don't know that to that extent. Like, I wouldn't say that it's fake because I do think, like, you know, the bones of it makes a lot of sense. But the rest of it, like the images that we're being fed is all staged. It's all set up. It's all planned. It's all processed. And I don't like when something feels that processed. And it's hard for me to wrap my head around because it's like, I know I'm being fed this on purpose. So, you know, I guess your girl should have turned her phone off. I'm being fed it on purpose. So it, I kind of like, I'm like a, you know, you want to give it to me and well, now I don't want it. I feel like if we kind of were catching like sneak peeks and it was growing organically, like we would appreciate this relationship a little bit more. But anyways, back to that night. So, you know, Julia goes running back in. It just seemed off. You know, why even walk him to the car? He couldn't walk himself to the car. And like, imagine Travis Barker, like letting Courtney walk him to the car and then having to like run back inside without security. It was bizarre. It just looked like she was walking him out for show. If she was staying, she should have stayed. I don't understand the whole walking him out process. Furthermore, I'd like to comment on her low-rise jeans and low-rise pants that she keeps wearing. It's a no for me, dog. Okay, like, we are not going back, Julia. You have an amazing body. Some of us don't. I don't want the fucking low-rise jeans back. Okay, Britney did it once. She looked incredible, just like Julia does. You know, we had the Paris Hilton of it all, kind of wearing those low-rise jeans. No, thank you. Leave them in the 90s where they belong. We made it through. We're not going back. We will never go back, okay? Just had to get that out there. Then we get, so we have this performative date. We have all the imagery that's going on. We start getting fed pictures. We've already seen the video. Now we're getting photos. The photos are of Julia Fox essentially like laying down on a table as Kanye's meal. He's got a fork and knife. He's like pretending to eat her. It's all very staged. Again, we're talking about two creatives who color outside the lines. And so for them, this all probably makes a ton of sense. And like, I am sure the connection between them based on doing these things together is wild. But for the rest of us, we don't fucking get it. Okay, it's weird. It's not real. We can't wrap our heads around it. It's too much. It's like, doth protest too much. Like, you're shoving it in our face, so it feels like it's not real. I genuinely don't think that's the case. Like, I think they really are dating, and that to them, this makes total sense. But to all of the rest of us, it just looks fake, and I'm over it. On top of that, Ye releases a song in which he says he was brought back from a car crash to beat Pete Davidson's ass. How can you be moving on, dating other people? Like, acting like you're living your best life, like you're having this great new romance, and you're talking about beating up your ex's boyfriend. You have not moved on, my friend. Like, if you haven't moved on to the point where you're putting her new boyfriend in a song, you probably don't need to be so public with all the imagery of your new girlfriend. I mean, that's just me. You know, like, you can't have it both ways. You can't be, like, eating a woman off of a table and then be like, but I still love you, boo. Like, it's wild. Okay, it's all too much. Julia then decides she's going to call Interview Mag and gives another interview about her date with Kanye. This one is even juicier. This one, she basically says she's going to call after every date. She's going to give full updates. She's his muse. She's always been his muse. Talks a little bit about her dominatrix past. It is very salacious. It's very provocative. And I really think that's like her shtick, right? Because she is this beautiful woman. She's had this interesting past. And so she's using it to her advantage. What I really find interesting is that they both seem to not only be enjoying the dating part of this relationship, but they also seem to both be, it seems to be transactional, where they're both getting to use a piece of each other for something else. So Ye is using the imagery, he's using the provocativeness of this, he is, you know, really just like kind of doing some of the same things he did for Kim. I don't know if he's doing this as a dig. I don't know if he's doing it to cause commotion amongst all of us, which is very, you know, him. And Julie is using it for notoriety. They're both getting something out of this outside of just the relationship. And they both seem to be okay with it, which is very interesting. Because typically in a relationship, if you feel like the other person is using you, like, it would be a turnoff, but it seems to be more intriguing for both of them. I don't think this is the last we're going to see of them. I do think this relationship is probably going to last for a bit because they're both feeding off of it. They're both fueling each other's fire. So I think this one's going to burn for a little bit longer. And from the looks of it, we're going to fucking know every single thing about it. Kanye also decided that he was going to go public this week and talk about some of the custodial situations that have been arising between him and Kim with regards to the kids. First thing he did was he went live, sent it over to Hollywood Unlocked, and talked about how, you know, he had tried to drop Northwest off, and security would not allow him into the home so that he could go up and look at something she had in her room. And this is such like a fine line of like who's right, who's wrong. And especially, you know, like their divorce is not even finalized yet. Like all this is so new. I can only imagine that the boundaries that they're setting for each other are probably, you know, there's new ones being added every day because they're figuring out like, okay, this used to be okay. It's not anymore. You know, I'm dating now, so I don't want you barging into the house anymore. Like, similar to, like, what Kravis went through with Scott, right? Like, when they became more serious, Courtney had to lay down these boundaries where Scott always had kind of the run of the house. He could come in and go as he pleased. He could come see the kids anytime he wanted. But now that Courtney was dating Travis, she kind of needed him to call before he came. Or, you know, she established these guidelines. And I feel like now that Kim's dating, one, Kanye's dating, two, and they really are moving forward with this divorce, I am sure that the boundaries are adding on by the day. And they're changing by the day. And they're evolving. This relationship is going to go through some turmoil as they figure out like what their new normal looks like. So I understand. And this is so tricky. But like I understand from his perspective the shock that he might feel when he goes to like, just do something as casual as like, hey, Dad, look at that. I want to show you this thing I have in my room. And he's like, okay, here I come. And the security is like, no, sir, you can't come in. I understand the emotional effect that would take. Like, I can't imagine suddenly losing access to my kids whenever I want them and just having to adjust to those new boundaries. However, that said, it is a boundary and it's Kim's boundary, and she has every right to have boundaries in place. She's no longer with him. She's moving forward with this divorce. There's no mixed signals from her. She's not saying like, yeah, I want to give you another chance. Yeah, let's go on a date. No, she has been moving forward in the same direction with no backtracking for some time now. And she's dating someone and she's allowed to have her boundaries. And I mean, it's no secret that Kanye, you know, has some mental health issues that he's consistently dealing with, whether that be through treatment, therapy, or nothing at all. It's still, you know, something that requires hard lines and boundaries. And she's entitled to those. She's entitled to those. It's going to make things better for the kids in the long run, for her to have clear boundaries, for him to have clear boundaries too. I mean, this is not a one-way street. Kanye should have the same, you know, option to have boundaries for his life too with regards to Kim. I mean, Kim's not just going to go walk across the street and barge into his house. So, you know, there has to be a mutual respect level. But I do, from, you know, like a perspective of like a parent going from having access to your kids all the time to suddenly not, I'm sure it is a bit of a shock. And it does make me feel badly for him because I'm a fucking sucker. Told you guys this before. As if that wasn't enough of like sharing of their kind of private working through their divorce moments, Shai's birthday was this week, and Ye again went live, sends it to Hollywood Unlocked, and basically accuses Kim of not allowing him to go to Shai's birthday party. Says that he's been trying to reach her all day, that nanny's all day. No one will give him the address. Tristan won't give it to him. Chloe won't give it to him. And all he wants to do is be a part of Chicago's birthday party. And listen, I mean, that kind of speech, right? Like, it tugs at the heartstrings. It makes you think like, okay, you know, he just wants to be there for his kid. And I get that. But when people get divorced, there are all kinds of reasons. There are all kinds of situations. Some are the best of friends and they do joint birthday parties. Some have separate, completely separate birthday parties. Others, like, they don't even communicate with each other. So, you know, we can't pretend to understand the dynamic between the two of them, but I can only assume that if Kim, you know, has a birthday party, just given how the Kardashians have always behaved, have always acted, I'm sure he was freaking invited. And if he wasn't invited, I'm sure there was a reason for it. He went on this huge rant, only to be shown, like, an hour later, an Atiana story talking to Chris at the birthday party. A few hours later, Kanye goes live again, reveals that Travis Scott actually sent him the address, that he was able to go and enjoy it with Shai. You know, talks about having a great time. Does not disparage the family any further, which was great. So hopefully, I guess it really was a misunderstanding. And then we find out that all along, he had been invited by Kim, a source, you know, close to the family, coming out of E, which means Kris fucking Jenner, says he had been invited all along, however, had decided he wanted to have his own birthday party. So she was having hers at noon, he was having his at 4:00. At a completely different location. He was always supposed to come and pick up Shai and the kids and then go to the birthday party that he had planned. Like, why are we doing this? Like, how is this healthy for anyone? And if that was the case, like, why does he think he gets to just, like, change his mind at the last minute and be like, no, I want to do it like this? Like, this is where we stop, like, feeling bad for him as a father and start saying, like, okay, you're toying with her as a woman, and like, that sucks, you know? So I unfortunately do think this is gonna get so much worse before it gets any better. You know, I think back to when he made that public plea for her, like, Kimberly, please come right back to me. Y'all like my singing voice? I should have been a star. And everyone's like, is she going to go back? Is she going to go back? And then immediately the next day, she drew a hard line in the sand. It was like, we are moving forward with the divorce. You know, she filed papers the very next day. And everyone's like, wow, he gave this, you know, really public plea, big romantic grand gesture, and it was kind of like a slap in the face for her to decide she was going to go the next day and file this paperwork. And I said it at the time, and I'll say it again. Their biggest issue as a couple was that whenever he was feeling trapped, upset, whenever he was having an episode due to his mental health, no matter what the situation was, whenever he had a situation like that occur, he did not take it directly to his wife like married people do. He blew it up in public, on the internet, on social media, on TV, on whatever channel he could find, instead of looking across the dinner table at his wife and saying, "Hun, this is how I feel." And I can tell you, if my husband did that to me, he wouldn't be my fucking husband anymore. Why would it, like, you're in a marriage. It's not, like, it doesn't even make sense to be tweeting about your wife instead of talking to her. It's insane. He, like, bought a house in another state. Like, all these things were so public and so embarrassing for her. And when he made that public plea, this time it was positive. This time it was a sweet gesture. This time it was romantic. But it was still more of the same. It was still more of him acting out his emotions in public versus speaking to her as his wife. And he did the same thing this weekend with those videos about Shy, with those videos about North. He's still doing it. He hasn't learned. He hasn't changed. And for those reasons, I'm out. No, I'm just kidding. For those reasons, I feel like this divorce is probably the best thing for both of them, because until that part of him changes, she won't be able to be happy. He will continue breaking her heart, and it's just not healthy. It's just not a healthy situation. So hoping these two can get it together for the sake of those kiddos. But honestly, I just don't see it getting any better before it gets much, much worse. And more to come on Julia. I'm really excited about seeing where that goes. This week, Jason Momoa and Lisa Bonet. You know who I'm talking about. Announced their split as a couple. And they, you know, put out this really nice statement, joint statement, basically that the pandemic impacted their relationship, and like many others, they just found themselves kind of moving in another direction. And I thought the statement was really well crafted. I thought it was very them. And, you know, I think these two are going to probably split really amicably, and they're going to be super respectful of each other. And I love when that happens. But I got to be honest, and I said this week on my Instagram, and a lot of people were like, "Really? Why?" I saw this coming. Like, I am really surprised it lasted as long as it did, and not for any other reason than I just never saw them being like a good match energy wise. Like, you can tell that their relationship was always really like spiritual. Like, they always probably agreed on like what was important to them spiritually, like wellness and health wise, and that they probably both really enjoyed, like, you know, just like holistic things and stuff like that. Like, they just both seemed really like earthy and earthy. They seemed really granola. They seemed like they kind of connected on a really deep spiritual level. And I think that's why their relationship did last for so long. And I think that's why they will part respectfully. But energy level wise and like who they seem to be never quite fit to me. Like, he's this big movie star who is very energetic, like, has this huge personality. He's super overwhelming. He is, you know, a kind of a flirt. He's always flirting with his female co-stars, probably in, like, a Teddy Bearish way, but he's, like very outgoing. And she seems like she's very, you know, subdued and doesn't probably go out often and probably is more of like, you know, a really calm, relaxed type of person. And I just didn't understand how two people who were completely opposite like that, with regards to, like, you know, he travels a ton. He travels with his guy friends a ton. and you never see her doing, you know, much. Like, I know she's an actress, obviously. She's, you know, she's been acting since she was a kid. She's very successful, but their energy levels just never made any sense to me. And what was always interesting to me was, like, her and Lenny Kravitz kind of gave me the same vibe as her and Jason Momoa. And obviously that relationship didn't work. So it just kind of didn't make sense to me on how this relationship would work. But you know what? I honestly, like, I want to know a couple things. One, I want to know what tricks she can teach me. Okay? This woman has been with Lenny Kravitz and Jason Momoa. Okay, her hit list is pretty fucking impressive. So I want to know what exactly she's doing. I would like the tips. I want to know. She's got something going on. Second, I can't wait to see who's fucking next. Like, who is going to be next? Because she doesn't pick up any slouches. So she's like the female Pete Davidson, right? Her roster's on point, but she's like the committed female Pete Davidson. So, like, long-term relationships, but also has a hit list that would, like, put you to shame. So really sad to see the news, though, in all seriousness. But, you know, just not super surprised by it. Jamie Lynn Spears' book came out this past week, as well as several interviews. And listen, I'm going to get into this a little bit more next week. I do have some, like, catching up to do with regards to all that has come out. And I'm hoping to be able to talk about it with someone who really knows his stuff. I'll say this. I have listened to the Call Her Daddy podcast, where Jamie Lynn Spears was, you know, giving her side of the story. I don't, based on that podcast, she didn't say anything that was disparaging towards her sister. She didn't say anything that was really disparaging towards anybody. It was very self-indulgent. It was very me, me, me. It's all about me, which I suppose is better than her talking about her sister. However, if my sister had just been freed from a conservatorship that she had been under for 13 years, if she was just getting her footing back, if she was just being reemerged into society, if she was just finally becoming the woman she's always wanted to be, I would put a hold on every fucking other thing I had going on, and I would let my sister have her damn moment. And for me, without having a ton of knowledge behind me, just that's kind of where I'm at. Again, I'm going to get more into this next week, so you'll have to tune in. You'll have to check out, you know, that podcast for me to have a little bit more of an opinion. But that's all I'm going to say for now, is that, like, her timing is piss poor. And do we need this right now? I don't think so. If you're a super supportive sister, would you be putting this out right now? Again, I don't think so. So that's kind of where I'm at with the Jamie Lynn Spears thing, but we'll definitely talk more about it next week. I also started watching and have completely caught up with Real Housewives of Miami. Now, let me just say, when this came out the first time, okay, 10 years ago, first of all, I was going through the numbers and I'm like, I think it was, like, you know, 5 years ago. It was fucking 10 years ago. 10 years ago. Can you believe that it has been 10 years? And these women have the same faces. Can you imagine how much that costs to have the same fucking face 10 years later? Wild. However, back to 10 years ago. I loved this show, okay? It was my favorite Housewives franchise. When it went away, I was devastated, okay? You keep on these other franchises that, like, are snooze fest, and then you get rid of Miami, like the spicy Latinas. Every Latina show on Bravo gets canned. Just take a peek. Historically, they all get fucking canned, okay? So I was so excited that this one got brought back. I do miss my Leah Black. I do miss my Joanna Krupa. I miss them. I thought they were awesome. I loved the original cast. So I'm really excited that for the most part, a ton of them are back. And then we have a couple new additions who, yeah, they're okay. Like, I like Gertie. Kiki is interesting, but I haven't really, like, there's nothing to it yet. Her storyline's a little bland. And then Julia, she seems cool, but honestly, I would prefer to have Adriana as the main character and Julia as her friend. But I suppose they went with Julia because she's married to Martina, the tennis player, and, you know, she's a little bit more famous. However, I really, like, I love Adriana. I just think she's trouble. I think she is, you know, exciting. She is a shit talker, and that makes for, like, the best housewives. So I love having these girls back. I love Marisol. Marisol was always my favorite. Actually, to be totally honest with you, my favorite Miami housewife was Mama Elsa. And God rest her soul, we are missing her. We are missing her. The show is not the same without her. But I will say, Marisol is giving me Mama Elsa moments. And it is super sweet to see Alexia's back. She's got a whole new family dynamic going on, which is kind of crazy. Because last we saw her, she was married to Herman. Herman is now deceased. God rest his soul. And she's with this new guy who is nothing like Herman. She's confronting Herman's gay lover. It's a whole scene. This show is back. It's on fire. I'm in love. I'm so excited to have it all together. Lisa is back. Lisa Hochstein. And she has kiddos because last time we saw her, she was trying to get pregnant and couldn't. So, like, that's super exciting. And I love that for her. But, yeah, if you haven't checked out Housewives of Miami, it's killer. And I added another subscription to my already ridiculous amount of subscriptions. So my husband's really fucking pleased with me about it. So thanks, Bravo. Thank you very much for throwing it on Peacock where I would have to pay for it. That's a bunch of bullshit. Last night was a premiere of Summer House. Summer House. Okay, I fucking love Summer House. People ask me all the time, like, should I watch Summer House? Yes, you should watch Summer House. Why? I don't fucking know why. It's a bunch of people drinking, hooking up. It's a shit show. It's a hot mess express. There's no other point of them doing this except to literally get shit faced. And yes, they are all like in their late 30s and 40s. Yes, they're all like grown-ups who should fucking know better, but they don't, and I love it. And it's trash TV. It's the best. It's the best fucking show. I love Summer House. I wish Summer House was year-round. And I love all of the wonderful people on Summer House. Honestly, I love that they are like super smart professionals by day and throwing back Fireball by night. That makes me happy. That makes me happy. You know, I am a mom with two littles at home. I'm not running around throwing back Fireball shots. So I want to watch other people doing it because I want to laugh. And I want to live vicariously through them. And that is what Summer House gives me. And so thank you, Summer House, for coming back because I'm fucking here for it, okay? This premiere was everything I wanted it to be. It was perfection from front to back, top to bottom, left to right, okay? First, we start off, Paige, Queen Paige, okay? She's cute as a fucking button, gives us the timeline. Okay, we have been trying to figure out what the fuck happened with her and Andrea after they left Winter House. Her and Andrea, hot and heavy, promised to go on dates as they're leaving Winter House. And then suddenly we see her with Craig. What happened? What happened? How did she go from being totally into Andrea with the 12th pack and the Italian accent and the hot stuff to Craig with the cute face and the dad bod? I like Craig, okay? I think he's cool. But these two are not the same, One of these things is not like the other, okay? So it was just like, how did we get here? So Paige finally explained all that to us. Thank the good Lord. Basically, came back from Winterhouse. They went on a few dates. Andrea wanted to get serious. He wanted to make it like, you know, let's not see other people. She wasn't ready to do that. She started like seeing, you know, because she was just kind of dating around and seeing other people. Starts sleeping with Craig. Not exclusive. Goes into the summer house and is sleeping around with Craig, but casually. They're not exclusive. They're both seeing other people. Andrea's at summer house. She hasn't seen him in a couple of months. He's like, you know, I'd love to know what happened between her and I to other people. So I'm so excited. Now, obviously, we all know the end of the story. We all know at the end of the story, Carl and Lindsay are together. We all know at the end of the story, Paige and Craig are an item. But the progression of how they're going to get there is going to be fun to watch. I did need the backstory. I did need it cleared up. I really did. So I'm thankful. We see that Amanda and Kyle are not in a great place. Amanda and Kyle are fighting on night fucking one of Summer House. Literally, night one. They all get there. They decide to go to dinner. They go to a club. They're partying. Everybody leaves. Everybody comes back to the house. Everybody gets into the bed except Kyle. Except the engaged guy. The one fucking guy who is engaged. The one dude who needs to come home is still out. Still out. Every fucking one else is home, including his fiance. She's calling him. She calls him 27 times. 27. 27 times she calls him. 4 a.m. he comes fucking walking in. Okay, by 4 a.m., Amanda's in bed, like, crying to the girls. The girls are pretending they're sleeping so that he, like, doesn't get in bed with them. And then they all run and hide, which was adorable. She's, like, thrown all his shit out on the front porch. She's broken his toiletries. He comes stumbling in at 4 a.m. is, like, eating a bag of chips. Eating a fucking bag of chips. And then the next morning is, like, blaming her. He's, like, blaming her. We come to find out through, like, Amanda complaining to her friends about what's been going on, that this has been going on for, like, quite some time. That, like, his drinking has truly become a huge problem in their relationship. And they are, like, on the verge of not going through with this wedding. And mind you, we're 2 months away from them fucking getting married. It's wild. They also have a contract or, like, agreement in place that says if she decides not to marry him because of his drinking, because he can't get it under control, he has to pay her parents back for every single cent they spent on this wedding. Like, if it's gotten to the point where you need a contract with your fiance in case you break up with him before the wedding, honey, bunny, it's time to pump the brakes. I get that they've been engaged for years and, like, she's just ready to get this shit over with, but this is scary. This is scary. This is terrifying. This is, like, I am worried for her. I want to hug her. I want to, like, kick him. I am hoping that we see some, like, real growth. I want this, like, pit in my stomach for her to go away. Oh, God. I can't even, like, if you have to have a contract in place, it's no fucking bueno. We also got to hear what happened with Lindsay and Jason after they left Winterhouse. You know, Lindsay and Jason had kind of started canoodling when they left Winterhouse. We had Jason on a couple weeks ago, and Jason and I talked about, like, what happened, like, where the relationship ended, you know, how did things go as far as Summer House? Would he be in Summer House? He did kind of skirt around the issue, did kind of skirt around my questions and just kind of said, like, you know, I might be in the beginning parts of it. And all that matters now is that Lindsay's happy and that I'm happy and everyone's in a really good place. And I thought that that was really mature and sweet. But I just didn't realize how mature and sweet it was. I have to commend Jason for honestly just like not answering any of my fucking questions. At the time, I was like wishing that he had given me more information, but now it completely makes sense. So Lindsay revealed last night after getting activated at dinner, you know, there was conversation about what everyone's relationship status was at the table so that everyone kind of knew where they stood. And when it got to Lindsay, she was like, you know, I'm just like dating. And she kind of, she wasn't clear, but she wasn't, you know, she wasn't avoiding it. And she really lashed out at Carl, who was like, it seems like you're single. And she was activated. She kind of went at him. And then they show her, you know, crying herself to sleep that night. And it was like, what the fuck is going on? And it just, you know, it wasn't all adding up. That next morning, she talked to Carl and disclosed that she had suffered a miscarriage, that her and Jason had found out that she was 6 weeks pregnant. She had had some things going on with her body, went to see a doctor in May, found out she was pregnant. It was Jason's. And by the next day, was having a miscarriage and then had to, you know, stay in the emergency room shortly after that. And so my heart completely breaks for both of them. My heart goes out to both of them. I am so impressed by her strength to share that with all of us. She didn't have to share that with any of us. It's no one's fucking business but hers and Jason's. I thought, gosh, she's so strong for like sharing that with the public. And like, I can't even imagine what it feels like to not only A, go through it, B, film it, and C, have to watch it back 7 months later. It's just the courage and strength that that takes is incredible. And then, you know, to think about Jason and the fact that, you know, he also suffered this loss. He also, you know, obviously not to the extent medically that Lindsay had to go through it. It still was, you know, a loss for him as well. And then, you know, answering my questions, answering other questions, and really being such a stand-up guy and letting Lindsay tell her story and not, you know, just blurting it out and not just answering for anybody, but really just letting her have her privacy and letting her disclose it in the way that she felt best for her. So I commend him too for being just like such a stand-up guy. But also we got to see the foundation of Lindsay and Carl being built in that moment, right? Like she confided in him. He really heard her out and was there for her and consoled her and was consistent and showed up for her. And so it's beautiful to see that that foundation's being built. Obviously now we know they're a couple, so it's amazing to watch. And I can't wait to see how they go from right now where they're really good friends to, you know, in a few months, they start dating. And they did say, sorry, just hacking up lung. They did say that we might get to see towards the end of the season a little sneak peek of them, you know, kind of starting to get romantic with each other, which is exciting. I'm all here for the Linzalito, and that's their couple name, according to me. You can call them whatever you want, but for me, it's a Linzalito, okay? Love the Summer House. If you don't watch it, fucking watch it. If you want to know why you should watch it, I don't have a reason for you. Just fucking watch it. That's all I have for you guys today, folks. I've just been dying to get all this shit off my chest. I can't wait to see like what is coming off for the rest of the week. These people are wilding out. Everyone's losing their damn minds. Stay safe out there, everyone. COVID is crazy again. You know, just do what you can. Stay safe. Stay in if you can. I care about all of you. I don't want to see any of you little fuckers get sick. All right, guys. Talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.